If you have your Bibles this morning, we invite you to turn with us to the fifth chapter of the book of Revelation.
And I saw in the right hand of him that sat on the throne a book written within and on the backside, sealed with seven seals. And I saw a strong angel proclaiming with a loud voice, "Who is worthy to open the book and to loose the seals thereof?" And no man in heaven, nor in earth, neither under the earth, was able to open the book, neither to look thereon. And I wept much, because no man was found worthy to open and to read the book, neither to look thereon. And one of the elders saith unto me, "Weep not. Behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, hath prevailed to open the book and to loose the seven seals thereof. And I beheld, and lo, in the midst of the throne and of the four beasts, and in the midst of the elders, stood a lamb, as it had been slain, having seven horns and seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God sent forth into all the earth. And he came and took the book out of the right hand of him that sat upon the throne. And when he had taken the book, the four beasts and 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, having every one of them harps and golden vials full of odors, which are the prayers of saints. And they sung a new song, saying, "Thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof, for thou wast slain and hast redeemed us to God by thy blood out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation, and hast made it us unto our God kings and priests, and we shall reign on the earth." We'll leave off reading there. That's Revelation chapter 5, verses 1 through 10, if correctly read this morning. We have studied the conquering lion of the tribe of Judah. We have studied the crucified Lamb of God, risen, resurrected over death, hell, and the grave. This morning, I would like to examine the complete Lord, the Root of David. Father, I pray, now that you would help us as we enter into this time of preaching, that Father, you'd be pleased to help us by the power of the Holy Spirit. Thank you for each person who's present. What wonderful singing we have heard as this wonderful choir has lifted their voices united to praise the name of your Son. Now, Father, as we enter into this time of preaching, Lord, I come to you and tell you that I cannot. Things are too wonderful for me. These things of God, the oracles of God, the precepts of God, oh, these wonderful laws. Thank you for the commandments of God. Help us now, Father, that you might enlighten us, that you might give us understanding. And Father, I praise you for what you're going to do. Thank you, Father, for the souls that you've saved just this last week and the week before. What a marvelous, what a mighty God that you are. Touch us, I pray to preach. In Jesus' name I ask, amen and amen. You may be seated. First of all, this morning, when we look at this text, I want us to see the call for the worthy one. As John opens this beautiful chapter here and begins to write, we notice the sweetness of the scene. John is in heaven. He sees the redeemed gathered around the throne of God Almighty. They're shouting. They're praising God. You may say, "Preacher Darren, I'm a little discouraged. I come to the church and I expected to worship and the choir sang and they sang loud and people were standing and they were throwing up their hands and people were coming to the altar and that bothered me." What do you think heaven's going to be like when people who've never walked are now able to run? What do you think heaven's going to be like where people who are mute upon the earth and not able to speak, but now in heaven with a new body, their tongue is unloosed, and surely they'll let it roll while the ages roll on? What will heaven be like It will be a precious reunion, a grand scene where we worship the Lamb of God, slain before the foundation of the world forever and ever and ever. And as John surveys the sweetness of this scene, he sees God upon the throne. He sees Jesus. He sees the crowd that's gathered around. I wonder, does he see you in that scene? I know I'm there, praise God. I can speak for that. Second of all, we see the sacredness of the scroll. The one on the throne, God Almighty himself, he has in his hand a scroll. The Bible here tells us it's the word biblion. We notice in the scripture it's interpreted a book. This book has seven seals on the outside of it. He has this scroll is the title deed to the earth. You see, when God made the earth, when he created it, he gave the dominion to the man and to the woman. But the man forfeited it when he went into sin, amen? And he succumbed his dominion to the devil. And now the earth, the title deed to the very creation of earth, has been in forfeiture. The Bible says the scroll was written within and without. It was written within. Jeremiah 32 would teach us this. Within would tell us how this land, this property, came to be in forfeiture. On the outside of the scroll, it would tell us the price that needed to be paid for its redemption. Oh, on the outside of the book, it tells us of one, of the innocent one, the Son of God, that would shed his blood that you and I might be set free, that creation might experience redemption. I bless his holy name. And I want you to know that when we see the sacredness of this scroll, then we come to the seriousness of the search. And they looked all over heaven. Who's worthy to take the book? Who's worthy to put redemption's plan in action? Who is worthy? They looked all over heaven. They found Moses. He's a great man, the meekest man that ever served on the face of the earth. But he was not worthy to take the book. He was not even worthy to look thereon. I want you to know they found others, such as Daniel. They found Isaiah. They found Abraham. They found Isaac. They found Jacob. They found the great preachers from long ago, but not one of them was worthy to take the book out of the hands of the one who sat upon the throne. Then they looked upon the earth. They looked at the Antichrist. They looked at all his power, and they looked at all the riches and all the people who were great upon the earth, but none of them were found worthy to take the book. The reach scoped on into the doomed in hell of all the great men and women that have taken the name of Jesus and rejected him and have chosen to go their own way. In hell they are. And I want you to know they looked all over hell. Not one was found worthy. Notice the question did not say who's willing. I'm certain there are many that were willing to take the book. But the question is, who is worthy? Oh, we see the sweetness of the scene. We see the sacredness of the scroll. We see the seriousness of the search. Then we come to the sorrowfulness of the situation. When John saw that no one was worthy, the Bible says he wept much. For surely it appears that the earth will continue to be in tribulation. Surely it looks like the devil will reign forever and ever and ever. Oh, how it broke his heart. Oh, how it ought to break our heart. What sin has done to our land. What sin has done to our families. What sin has done to our lives. John wept much. And there you see the sorrowfulness of the situation. Second of all, I want you to see the claim of the worthy one. One of the elders, which represents the church, he said, "Weep not. Behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, hath prevailed to open the book and to loose the seven seals thereof." Aren't you glad, first of all, for the ancestry of the lion? Hey, the church recognized, based on the word of God, Genesis 49, that the right ruler, the righteous ruler that would come to this earth, hey, the righteous ruler that's worthy to take the book would be the Lion of the tribe of Judah. As Lion, he is king. He is King of kings. Amen. As Lion, he is conqueror. Hey, he's prevailed over it all, over Satan himself. And he is worthy to take the book. And then not only the ancestry of the lion, but when he looked, he saw the appearance of the Lamb.
John was encouraged when he heard that word. Behold, the lion of the tribe of Judah hath prevailed. I want you to know when he looked for the lion, he saw the lamb. I want you to know he recognized that lamb. He was the same one that died on the cross. He was the same one that they buried. He's the same one that arose on that first day of the week. He recognized that lamb that was slain. He was slaughtered. He was crucified. He gave his life that we might be set free. Praise God and the Lamb forever. But I want you to know John recognized him next of all as the redeeming Lamb. He is the one, amen, who paid the price that you and I might be set free. Oh, listen, I want you to know when justice called for a payment for my sin, I could not pay. You could not pay, but the Lamb of God shed his blood that we sinners might be set free. And I bless his holy name this morning that he's my redeeming Lamb. Hallelujah to God. Then he notices the authority of the Lord. When he looks for the lion and he sees the lamb, he sees Jesus. Take the scroll, the book out of the right hand of God Almighty. Hey, Jesus is the worthy one. Praise his holy name. By his worthiness, by his authority, by his preeminence, he prevailed and he took the book out of the right hand of God. That means there is redemption. That, oh, hallelujah to God. That means, praise God, that righteousness will prevail. And I bless his holy name this morning. Thirdly, we see the celebration of the worthy one. When Jesus took the book out of the right hand of God Almighty, notice with me in verse number 9 and verse number 10, the song of the saints. Oh, they began to sing. Boy, I love the choir singing this morning. It was wonderful. It thrilled my soul. It put a shout in my soul, a stir in my steps. It's encouraged me. But one day when we get to heaven and we begin to sing that wonderful song, thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof, for thou wast slain. I heard them Sunday night. They gathered around the piano here. They started singing the song, thou art worthy. Hey, while they're singing, thou art worthy, God saved three souls over in the corner. I bless his holy name. He is worthy. And there you hear the wonderful song of the saints. Look in verse 12. You see the shout of all the saints. They said, worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing. Look in verse 13 as you see the salutation of the sum of all creation. Look at what they all say. Look, listen who this is. This is those in heaven, those on earth, those under the earth, those in the sea. Listen what they say. Blessing and honor and glory and power be unto him that sitteth upon the throne and unto the Lamb forever and ever. Bless his holy name. Fourthly, and we'll be done this morning. I want us to see then the character of the worthy one. And I want us to think about that thought, it being found in verse number 5, where it says, he is the root of David. Now, Jesus is given some titles here in this verse. He's the Lion of the tribe of Judah. He is the root of David. In the next verse, he is the Lamb of God. But I want you to understand, as he takes the title deed, he is the one that has the titles, amen. He's entitled, hallelujah, to take the title deed of this earth. Now understand, as Lion, we said he was King of Kings. Say amen. But hear this, as the root of David, he's Lord of Lords. Now I want to slow down just a minute and I want us to think. David was one of the greatest kings that ever walked upon this earth or ever served. He was considered a great king and a great Lord. But Jesus is the root of David. Jesus is the Lord, capital L, capital O, capital R, capital D. He is the Lord of Lords. Hold your place in Revelations here and skip forward to chapter 22 and verse number 16. And I want you to see some of the last words that Jesus spoke that are recorded in the Word of God. Listen what he says. Boy, I love this. Revelation 22, 16. I, Jesus, have sent mine angel to testify unto you these things in the churches. I am the root and the offspring of David and the bright and morning star. Now we know surely, according to the word of God, Jesus is in the lineage of David. He's in the lineage of David through Mary the Virgin. She was of that family. The Bible proves that out in Matthew and Luke. I want you to know that also Joseph, who is an adoptive, if I could say that, type father to Jesus upon this earth, he's of the lineage of King David. You'll find that in the book of Matthew and the book of Luke. Yet, watch this. We understand 15 times in the Word of God that Jesus is called the Son of David. There is no doubt that he is the offspring of David. But the Bible says he's the root of David. Oh my. Preacher Darren, what does that mean? Have you still got your Bible? Say amen. Amen. Turn back with me to the book of Luke chapter number 20. Luke chapter number 20. I want to go down to verse number 41. Luke 20, verse number 41. And he said unto them, how say they that Christ is David's son? David himself saith in the book of Psalms, the Lord saith unto my Lord, sit thou on my right hand till I make thine enemies thy footstool. Verse 44, this is Jesus talking. David therefore calleth him Lord. How is he then his son? Do you understand this morning that before David was, Jesus was? You understand that Jesus is the root of David. Jesus was before David. I want us to study just a few things this morning about the root of David. The Bible says that Jesus is the root out of dry ground. Now, I want us this morning, I've asked the guys at the sound booth if they would just put up a picture of a tree, and I want you to see that this morning, how beautiful and healthy that this tree is. First of all, and I want to just say four things about the root. First of all, I want you to consider that the root is a source. It is the source. You understand that tree there is beautiful, nice and green in the summertime. It's got beautiful leaves and beautiful limbs and a beautiful trunk. What a marvelous tree that is. But understand that there's no life in that tree without the root. You see, the root is connected to the plant. It's connected to the tree. Life flows from the root into the trunk, into the branches, into the limbs, into the leaves thereof. Hey, if there's any fruit bearing, if it's an apple tree or whatever, if there's any fruit bearing, hey, the fruit originated in the root. Hold your place and turn to the book of John, chapter number 5. The Bible tells us in verse number 26, and we're talking about that Jesus being the root, all life resides in the root. All life resides in Jesus. He is the creator and he is the redeemer of all men. The Bible says in John 5, 26, for as the Father hath life in himself, so hath he given to the Son to have life in himself. You understand, Jesus said in John 14, 6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. He is the life. Look at the preceding verse, verse 25. Verily, verily, I say unto you, the hour is coming and now is, when the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God, and they that hear shall live. Oh, there I sat one night, way back in the church house, dead in my trespasses and in my sins. Oh, some of you's already smiling because you know you've had the same experience. And somebody came by your way that night. His name was Jesus. He, by the Holy Ghost, brought you to a place of conviction. You came down to an old-fashioned altar, and when you called on his name, you that were dead in trespass and sins, he gave you life when he saved your soul. Therefore, I say this morning, he is our root. He is the source of our life, and I bless his holy name this morning. Oh, if you're here and you've never been saved, Boy, there may be times where you feel like, boy, I feel like he's dealt with me. I feel like my heart about beat out of my chest. I feel like he spoke my name. I'm telling you what, the best thing you'll ever do, sir, the best thing you'll ever do, ma'am, is run to an altar and say, oh, God, would you forgive me of my sins? Would you save my soul? And life will come to you, not just life here. Hey, that's an abundant life, but life for all eternity in glory with Jesus. So we see the root being the source of life. Second of all, look at this beautiful tree. A root is secluded. You see, the root is invisible to the natural eye. I can see the trees. I can see the bushes. I can see the grass. I can see the plants, but I can't see the root. The root is covered up by the dust of the earth. When Jesus was born, he was veiled, God in human flesh. He was born in Bethlehem, the city of David. They wrapped him up when he was born in swaddling clothes, and they laid him in a manger. Are you hearing me? Humanity paid him no attention. The King of Kings and the Lord of Lords had been born, and nobody cared. There was no room for him in the inn. Until that night that God came through an angel to the shepherds and said, you'll find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. He is the Son of God. He is the King of Kings. He is the Lord of Lords. You hear those shepherds. Listen, they would never have cared until the Lord revealed it to them. You see, their natural eyes couldn't see it. Secluded, hidden from them. But when it was revealed to them, they said, let us go and see this thing which has come to pass. Can you see them as they traveled there with wonderment and amazement? And when they got there, oh, there was something different about this one. Not just any baby, but the God's own darling son. Oh, they laughed there praising God. I want you to know, praise the Lord, this morning, he was hidden from you. You would have never known him had God not revealed him. Hey, he told Simon Peter, he said, flesh and blood hath not revealed it to you. Hey, but my Father which is in heaven revealed it to you. He's the root that was secluded. We would have never noticed it. We'd have paid attention to the tree. We'd have paid attention to the leaves. We'd have paid attention to the shade. But the roots would have been secluded. But understand, praise God, there came a time when the Holy Ghost revealed to you that Jesus Christ is King, that Jesus Christ gave his life, that Jesus Christ is Savior, and you ran to an old-fashioned altar and you called on his holy name. You understand the thing about Mary and Joseph? I mean, they're that house of David. I mean, a royal line, but they're paupers. That they have lost their place. They lost their prestige. They still have the ancestry, but the position has been lost. There's another line of kings now. I want you to know that they have not even enough money to give a proper offering. They had to give two turtle doves. I mean, can you imagine the kin, the ancestry, the genealogy of David having no room to stay even in an inn? I mean, I guarantee if somebody of royalty came to Spruce Pine and they went down to one of these motels down here, buddy, they'd be shoving people out of the way to make sure that so-and-so got in. But when Jesus was born, they completely ignored the fact he is the secluded root. The Bible says in the book of John, chapter number 1 and verse 14, the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. If you're here this morning, you're saved. I want you to know that you're saved because God Almighty chose to reveal that to you and you received it. You ought to be shouting this morning because he, the secluded root, gave you life. The third thing we must notice about the root is a secured root. The root is the most secured part of a tree. It anchors the tree. You know, the wind may come. What if a great windstorm hit this beautiful tree that you see there? It might knock some of the leaves off the stem. It might break, snap some of the limbs. It might even break the tree down from the trunk or some of those great big branches out of it. But I want you to know this, that the root is secure. The Bible says in Colossians 3:3, you are dead and your life is hid with Christ in God. You understand that Christ is hid? That means he's eternally secure in God. In the book of Luke, chapter number 4, as Jesus was teaching and preaching, the multitude got very angry. They hated him. They took him. We're going to cast him or thrust him out of the city. Even throw him off of a pinnacle, try to get rid of him. But I want you to know the Bible says that he just slipped right through them. How do you lose track of the center of your focus? How do you lose track of the one you're so indignant against? I'll tell you how. Because he's hid with God. He just slipped right through. Oh, I want to say this morning, the devil, you hearing me, cannot touch your life unless God allows it. You're secure. You're hidden. And you're hidden with Christ in God. Praise God this morning. My anchor holds. We are secure in God. No harm can come to us as long as we're in Christ. I'll never have to worry about going to hell. Last of all, and I'm done, I want you to see the root was smitten one day. You understand the only way you can really destroy that tree, I mean, you could take some landscaping company and they could come and saw off the limbs and you know, take it and grind it all up and saw down the trunk and grind it up. You know what will happen to that tree when you cut it down? It'll come right back to life because of the root. The only way you can really kill that tree, you've got to smite the root. Jesus knew the only way that we'd go to heaven, because we're sinners, would be to carry an old tree, now formed into a cross, up Calvary's hill, lay down on that cross, allow them to nail him there, shed his blood, and give his life for sinners. And don't you know, when the devil saw Jesus hanging on the tree, he said, I have smitten the root. On the first day of the week, up from the grave, out of that secluded tomb, came the Prince of Glory, God's only begotten Son, alive again. The root still lives. And because he lives, we live.